Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I've told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward?
Thank you.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever walked into a meeting knowing exactly what you're going to say and exactly how this meeting is going to end, and it doesn't work out that way? I think that's what happened in our gospel reading. Nicodemus, we are told, is a leader of the Jews. And he comes to Jesus by night. Now, why does he come to Jesus by night? We're not told. He could have come up to Jesus any time as he was preaching and teaching during the daytime. But instead, he comes to him at night. Possibly because he doesn't want his fellow leaders to be aware that he's talking to this person from Nazareth. We hear that repeatedly, that no good can come out of Nazareth. He comes to him at night, and he starts this meeting out fairly well. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. So far, so good. He acknowledges who he is, that he is a teacher, and he comes from God, and that he does signs and wonders. He doesn't ask a question. Instead, Jesus responds. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus must be saying, "What? Where does that come from? Why are you telling me this? What does this mean? How does this have anything to do with the signs and wonders that I've observed you and heard about you performing?" He's understandably confused. As he engages in this conversation that it already is not going the way that he planned. For all that we know, he was planning to tell Jesus a few things. This is the right way to preach and teach. Maybe you need to be a little careful in what you say because there are some stirrings about you, some murmurings. Instead, he hears this. How is he supposed to interpret this? And he begins with the first illogical way to interpret it, by thinking that Jesus is talking about a physical birth. How can someone who has grown old return to his mother's womb? Of course, that's an impossibility. So he's trying to exclude that as a possibility. But of course you can't do that. You can't be born again from your mother's womb. And Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit." So he's talking about a whole different kind of birth. He talks about the difference between flesh and spirit. And Nicodemus just does not understand. Jesus keeps saying, you need to be born from above. You need to be born new again. And this talk about water and spirit. And Nicodemus must become more and more puzzled because he says, how can these things be? How can one be born anew or born from above or born from spirit? What are you talking about, Jesus? And Jesus responds, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? Well, clearly he does not understand these things. Jesus then goes on to talk about the difference between what is flesh and what is spirit, what is earthly and what is heavenly, and how flesh begets flesh and spirit begets spirit. And I don't think that Nicodemus comes away any clearer on what has just happened. Jesus makes reference to something that happened as the people were wandering in the desert, as they were being afflicted by poisonous snakes. And so they raised up a serpent on a pole. We see that used in medicine today as an emblem. And those who looked upon that serpent on a pole were healed. And Jesus says, and the Son of Man will have to be lifted up too. And Nicodemus is so confused. What in the world are you talking about? You're talking about flesh, and now you're talking about spirit. Now you're talking about being lifted up. What does all this mean? And then Jesus confuses him even further by using a verse that if you've memorized nothing else, you probably memorized John 3:16, right? We could probably all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. And he continues with a verse that we sometimes fail to include. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Do you think Nicodemus really has a clue what Jesus is talking about? I don't think so. Because what he's saying just is so far removed from what Nicodemus knows. Nicodemus is quite aware of the law and the prophets and the writings. He could undoubtedly recite all sorts of things from Scripture, but he doesn't understand the Spirit of God. And that's what Jesus is trying to impart to him. The difference between having a head knowledge of things and having that heart knowledge that comes from the Spirit. And this conversation doesn't quite end here, so let me read the rest of this particular portion of Scripture. It says, those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. And here Nicodemus is, in the night, talking to this teacher who is trying to explain to him things that are just beyond his comprehension. In the Gospel of John, we see a lot about light and darkness. The darkness is a place of evil. The darkness is a place of confusion. And so it is not at all strange that Nicodemus comes into this conversation thinking it's going to go one way and leaving completely confused. Because he's come toward the light, but he has not accepted that light. Nicodemus appears only in the Gospel of John, and only three times in this particular passage, in a passage a few chapters later when they start asking why Jesus hasn't already been arrested because of his teachings. And Nicodemus stands up for Jesus and says, we need to hear what he has to say before we do anything about him. And we see him later on after Jesus' death, when he and Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body and place it in a tomb. And Nicodemus brings more than 70 pounds of spices to anoint the body of Jesus, an incredible amount for a royal burial, to the end not really understanding who Jesus was. And we have 20/20 hindsight. We know who Jesus is. We hear in the very beginning of the Gospel of John who Jesus is. Remember how the Gospel of John begins? It begins in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. When we look at our world today, do we see that the darkness is still there in the hearts of those who do not choose the light And do we see the light of Jesus, the light that is reflected in the hearts and the minds and the lives of believers? I don't know about you, but I want to follow that light because I find darkness a bit frightening. I want the light that shows me the path to eternal life. And the way that John defines eternal life is to have relationship with God. It is not just something for the future. It is something you can have here and now, to have a relationship with God. And I know I want that, because the world can be a dark and frightening place. And it's not so dark and frightening if I have the light. As I was driving here this morning, I was listening to the radio, and someone said, God never gives us more than we can handle. Have you heard that? Do you know where that shows up in the Bible? Any guesses? It doesn't. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Have you ever had more than you can handle? More than you can handle alone. And that is why I appreciate our hymn of the day, because it tells us that we are not alone. It tells us that as long as we cling to that one who is life and light, we're going to be okay. And that hymn is what a friend we have in Jesus. Let me read to you a little bit from this book called Then Sings My Soul, 150 of the World's Greatest Hymn Stories. It says, Joseph Scriven watched in shock as the body of his fiancée was pulled from the lake. Their wedding had been planned for the next day. Reeling from the tragedy, he made up his mind to immigrate to America. Packing up his belongings in Dublin, Ireland, he sailed for Canada, leaving his mother behind. He was about 25 years old. 10 years later, in 1855, he received word that his mother was facing a crisis. Joseph wrote this poem and sent it to her. Mrs. Scriven evidently gave a copy to a friend who had it published anonymously, and it quickly became a popular hymn, though no one knew who had written it. Meanwhile, Joseph fell in love again. The tragedy struck a second time when his bride, Eliza Catherine Roche, contracted tuberculosis and died in 1860 before their wedding could take place. To escape his sorrow, Joseph poured himself into ministry, doing charity work for the Plymouth Brethren and preaching among the Baptists. He lived a simple, obscure life in Port Hope, Canada, cutting firewood for widows, giving away his clothes and money to those in need. He was described as a man of short stature, with iron gray hair, a close-cropped beard, and light blue eyes that sparkled when he talked.